Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the name once again of our mighty creator, Elohim, yes, Yahweh, who is the true God, in whom we as saints, we trust him. Yes, I depend on him. I believe you do too. I believe in him. I believe you do too. He is the Most High, and I truly thank him for another day. I also thank you, those who called in to join in Crown Talk and Drums Radio. Some of you calling in early this Sunday morning live. Some may be listening later on. So I'm going to say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever time you're listening in, it's another day that we get to talk about the Messiah. Hallelujah, Yeshua HaMashiach. We call him Jesus, the Messiah who is the anointed one. I just want to take the time to welcome you. Yeah, for such a time as this ministry, my name is Sarepta Cunningham. And I can't thank Elohim enough. I can't thank him enough for giving me another opportunity of this opportunity in this space and in this season of my life. I'm grateful to him that he's given me that ability to share and encourage, hallelujah, with others and myself. When I'm encouraging you, I'm encouraging me. And that's just a blessing. The way he does it, and he has me to jot down this and jot down that, and he takes over. I commit it over to the Holy Spirit, and I just thank him this morning. Amen. That we're going to encourage with his living word, that word that never fails. It always remains the same. That word that is the truth that gives and brings the very life of the Father himself. It brings his life to the forefront. Not ours, because it's all about him. It's not about us. Amen. It's all about him. We just get to be a part. Hallelujah. Those who, of us who made the choice. Amen. We get to be a part of this family. Amen. And I'm just grateful this morning. Hallelujah. Especially with all that's still going on around the world, in our local United States of America, in foreign countries, there's so much going on. And we turn the news on and see so much negativity. And yes, COVID-19 is still existing. It's still lingering around. All different kind of different diseases and different things are happening. Earthquakes and tornadoes and fires and floods, all these things are still taking place. Wars, rumors of wars, the wars with Ukraine and Russia, all these things are still happening. There's even wars going on in individual families. My. These things are still happening. Teenage crime, turn on the news the other day and another child was killed by a gunshot by their father. I don't know the details. But it's just sad when we turn on the news and we see all this negative news and all these reports. You know, it's the people, whoever, that has these guns. That's the problem. The gun itself is not the problem. It's the person and wherever their mental thoughts are with the gun. Amen. It's just so much like gun violence, food prices, gas prices up and down. It's just, you know, mental instabilities all over. Just so much is going on, and sometimes it can be overwhelming if we just continue to meditate on all those things. You know, you see the young, you see little children and young and the older adults disrespecting their parents. You see these things happening out in public. You know, the children trying to tell the parents what to do. It's just sad. And then they're disrespecting the elderly, and you might see them fussing or cussing them out. And, you know, not only are they disrespecting their parents or the elderly, they're disrespecting themselves and their own life and not even recognizing what they're doing. It's just so much. And then there's divisions in the family, just on various levels all around. It's just so much division taking place. And yes, it appears that all this is on the rise. We told that a lot of these things would happen, that men would be lovers of themselves and more than lovers of the Most High. That is so sad, but we see it happening. Many are falling short and falling from the faith, but we have to stand our ground. And all we can continue to say is, but Elohim, hallelujah, but our God, hallelujah, as we trust and continue to take him at his word, he will, yes, still have the final say. Amen. In every battle, I don't care what's going on, what it looks like, he still will have the final say if we continue to trust him. So if ever there was a time for encouragement, thanks. Hallelujah. That time is now. Hallelujah. And I'm just thankful. Hallelujah. Through the word, we have the word. We have fervent prayer. We need prayer like never before in this world today. And if there ever was that time is now. And it seems like it's amplified. So I hope you come with your spiritual ears open to hear so you can know, hallelujah, your spiritual eyes will be open to see what you're really looking at. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we want you to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you and me today. Hallelujah. So that we can go forward and be those effective kingdom citizens that the Most High has anointed us and appointed us to be for his kingdom. Hallelujah. I speak his shalom peace to you right now. Even at the beginning, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this another day that you've allowed us to see. It is a brand new day. We thank you for this new day. We don't know what to expect, but you already know what's going to take place. And we thank you. We put everything in your hands ahead of time. We thank you that you're going forth before us ahead of time. Now has you, Holy Spirit, and I come together to encourage the saints. Hallelujah. We thank you, hallelujah, for just continuously infiltrating this faith, infiltrating this time. Have your way. We just thank you. Thank you that you woke us up in our right frame of mind. Hallelujah. We don't take that for granted. We thank you. We have the use and activities of our limbs. Hallelujah. We don't take it for granted. Holy Spirit, have your way, and we thank you. We pray this prayer in the mighty name of Yeshua, who is our Messiah, Jesus. Amen, amen. And we just bless him today. Saints, I just thank you again. Hallelujah. And I just thank the Most High this time, again for this time. Hallelujah. Can't thank him enough. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think I'm going to oversleep, and he just wakes me up even when I lay down, because I was just so sleepy on yesterday. I couldn't figure that out, but it's okay. I'm just grateful. Hallelujah. This morning that he woke me up vibrant and fully alert. Hallelujah. And I give him all the praise for that. So this morning, the word he gave me was commit. And I'm not sure how he's going to take this, because so much was dropping in my thought processes as I had this word that came to me. And commit, when you think about that word, we're going to break it down just a little bit before we go into scripture. Commit, if you look at the Hebrew word for it, means to roll, amen, to roll over, to give something over with complete dependence on something else. In our case, as believers, hallelujah, I'm just believing we all have accepted the Messiah as our personal Savior, amen, hallelujah. In our case, we roll things over with complete dependency on Elohim, amen. We commit, hallelujah. And when you think about commit, I want to bring out some points that tie in to that word, amen, to carry something out, to carry a thing out to others with the intent that they will use whatever is for the service of mankind. When we're committing something, we're making we're carrying it out. We're perpetuating it, so to speak, carrying it out the task. Amen. That's part of what committing is. Committing is also making a promise to something. Say, for instance, you want to commit to an obligation, or you make a commitment to sign an agreement, or you make a commitment to, you know, a marriage. You sign off a document. You make a commitment in a covenant relationship with your wife or your husband. Amen. The husbands to their wife and the wife to the husband. Amen. That's a promise. You made a commitment. Amen. And then when you're also, when it comes to committing, we're making pledges. And I know I'm coming up with some P's, but this is what I was given, so I'm sharing it with you. Amen. When we make a commitment, we make pledges. Amen. In other words, we might say we're going to pay a certain amount or give a certain amount, like 10%, or some may be even a tithe or offering. They may be given more than 10%. We make a commitment. Amen. That's a pledge. Or we make a commitment toward a certain people. We pledge that there may be some kind of funding going on, and we make a pledge to give to that organization. Amen. That's what a pledge is. We're making a commitment. Amen. And then when we're making commitments, we also have to prepare ourselves to give that, whatever that commitment requires. We have to give some energy to it. Amen. We have to devote our energy, our time, and our talent. Amen. We're making a commitment. Even being here on this radio broadcast is making a commitment. Amen. But first and foremost, that commitment, hallelujah, has been made unto the Most High. Hallelujah. And he sustains and carries out the rest. So I'm just grateful for that. So when we make a commitment, we have to be prepared mentally, hallelujah, not just only because when you make a commitment, it takes up your time, yes, and time is valuable. Look, we're already, look at the time. Seems like we were just saying Happy New Year again, and here it is already. We're already through the first quarter of the year, April, and the end of the month is almost here. We're past, today's the 16th, we're past half of the month. My. So when we're preparing and committing, amen, it does take our time and talents, you know, because it requires of us to bring it forth, amen, to bring it, amen, whatever the Most High has supplied us with, amen. And I'm just so grateful this morning. Then when you think about commitment, it also it causes you to preserve, to thrust yourself forth, be preserved and committing to go forth in this life. Amen. With whatever you're committing to. And as we go into the word, amen, and go into the scriptures, amen, commitment brings trust. I mean, you have to have trust. You know, there has to be a trust in order for there to be a commitment made. Amen. And that took me to the scripture, very familiar passage of scripture. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thank you. Hallelujah. Coming out of the book of Psalms. Amen. And I'm going to read this passage out of the scriptures. Those who have may have heard me speak, I read out of the scriptures, and sometimes I go back and forth from the scriptures because the reading is a little different and the text is, some of the wordings have been changed, original Hebrew writing of the scripture. So some of the words are a little different, but it is still the original meaning in Hebrew form. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Starting at 30 verse of Psalm 37, the division of the Psalm, reading that first verse, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of unrighteousness, for they soon will wither like grass and fade like green plants. Third verse, trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the earth and feed on steadfastness. And delight yourself in Yahweh, and let him give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Yahweh. and trust in him, and he does it, to bring forth your righteousness as the light and your right ruling as midday. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of man doing wicked devices. Amen. And I'm going to stop right there. The main focal point of this passage was that fifth verse where that word commit comes forth. Amen. Commit your way. Hallelujah. But if you back up to that third verse, it says, trust in Yahweh. Amen. So first and foremost, we know we must trust in Yahweh in order to be able to commit. We have to trust. Hallelujah. Amen. In order to commit. Now, when you look at this from a worldly standpoint, those who don't have any faith or who don't have any belief and who have not accepted the Messiah as their personal Savior, you look at it from their point, their trust is in themselves. They don't know anything else. Amen. But once we've been converted and changed over, our trust began to be turned over. And this is a process. Some things we don't want to let go and we don't want to turn loose. We want to continue to try to figure it out on our own. Amen. And that's just not the way it works. We see here, trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the earth and feed on steadfastness. Stay steady. Stay steadfastness. Hallelujah. Don't waver. Amen. And delight yourself in him. Let him give you the desires of your heart. And see, when we're delighting in him, when we're trusting in him, when we're delighting in him and depending on him, hallelujah, like never before, like he is the only source, because he should be. He is the main source. Amen. He's the main course. Hallelujah. When we're delighting in him like that, trusting in him, and he gives us our desires are going to line up with what his word says. They're not going to line up in no other way as we're delighting in him, as we're getting on the same page as him. We know the scripture tells us our mind, our thoughts, and ways are not like his, but he wants them to come like his. And they will. Our mind gets renewed as we continue to spend time in his presence, spend time in his word. That's what it's all about, saints. Amen. We wouldn't be effective for our own self or nobody else. If we can't get ourselves together, how are we going to help anybody else? Amen. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. Amen. Want to give out the rules, but don't want to follow them. Come on now. Amen. I'm talking to myself here too. Not just you. I'm talking to me. I fall in this same category. None of us have arrived. Hallelujah. You just got to remember that. And then we get to that. So once you've trusted and you're delighting, amen, then you can commit. You begin to commit your way, your ways over to the Father. Amen. When you're making decisions, you start praying about, okay, I want to do this and I need to do that. Help me. Show me the way to go. Show me how to do this. Send the right people. That's how we should be talking to our Father. Amen. When things arise and we were trying to figure out what to do, we don't need to be figuring it out in our own strength. Amen. We need to depend and pray to our Father. That was the model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallelujah. That's who we're praying to. Yes, our Father. We pray to him. Our Heavenly Father. Amen. And he sent his son to give us the instruction. That's who he always talked to. My Father. I only say what my Father says. We're co-laborers. Since we've accepted the Messiah, we're co-laborers with him in the faith, following his example, following his pattern. But we still pray to the Father. Amen. And I'm so grateful. Commit your way to Yahweh. And trust in him. There's that word again, trust. We already heard that one. And he shall bring forth, hallelujah. Trust in him and he does it. When we trust him with every area, every decision we make, the ways and the path that we walk, he will help us He will bring it to pass. He's always working. He works it out. Even when a whole lot of chaos is going on around us, even when we're right in the midst of the chaotic moment, he's still working it out. Hallelujah, because we're trusting him to work it out. He's at work working it out. Amen. Even when it doesn't feel like it or look like it, we trust him and we have to believe that he's at work. Amen. That's part of the commitment that we made, rolling everything over completely in his hands, laying it at the altar, laying it at his feet, so to speak. We're praying to him with it. We're giving it to him. We're casting it on him. Every load of our care, we're casting it on him. Hallelujah. That's what helps to give us the peace that we can walk in. Amen. Amen. And then not only that, but that 7th verse says, rest in Yahweh. So we're trusting in him. We're committing our ways to him. And we're resting in him. What does that really look like to rest in him? Huh? When you think about resting and you lay down at night or in the middle of the day to take a nap, to go to sleep, you just lay there. Sometimes your mind can begin to race and you're thinking all kind of thoughts coming to you, what you might have to do the next day. And then tomorrow going to take care of itself. But when you just lay there and get calm and say, Father, I trust you with that, and start turning it into a prayer and take the concern off out of a worry, because worrying is a sin. It is, because we're not trusting, we're not believing. But when you turn it over, I have learned to do this, and I still do it. When I find myself just thinking, my mind is racing on what I got to do, wait a minute, Father, you got tomorrow already in your hands. I begin to turn it into a prayer. I want to encourage you to do that if you're not already doing that. I want to encourage you to do that as well. Amen. Rest. Hallelujah. Learn to rest in Yahweh. I don't care what's going on, even when you're, but this is resting. I just wanted to use that as an analogy. When you go to lay down at night, you go to sleep, you want to rest. And when your mind is racing, it keeps you awake because you're worrying. But the Father wants us to rest in him. Amen. And wait patiently for him. I heard that word so much this week, patience. Patience. Yesterday, I probably heard it about in different conversations. I probably heard it maybe 50 to 60 times. I wish I had counted it. I kept hearing that word in conversation. I went to visit someone, and that's what I heard. I was on the phone. That's what I heard. The Father didn't tell me to talk about patience, but guess what? The Holy Spirit going to bring it out anyway. He gave me commit. Amen. But here, right here in this passage of Scripture, it says, rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. That means we don't need to try to help him out. We have to press on in patience. What does that look like? When we say we walk by faith and not by sight, come on now. We say that. We walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. So, okay, why are we letting what we're seeing and sensing in our senses dictate to us? We shouldn't be letting anything dictate to us. We've been believing him to meet a need. Maybe many needs. We've been waiting and believing him to do that. So what do you do when it seems like, you know, you're tempted to give up in those wait moments? What do you do when you're waiting for prayer to be answered? What do you do in those moments? You be patient. That was the answer. I don't know what you thought I was going to say. In those moments of waiting, you still wait. Wait on wait. Hallelujah. Because the Scripture says wait patiently for him. That's what we're to do, saints. Wait patiently for our heavenly King. Because he's moving. He's working. Hallelujah. Yes. So there's not much to be said about patience. You know, when it comes to receiving from the Most High. We just got to wait. It's just as if patience is just as important as faith. We say we have faith. He said without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's what the Father tells us. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We haven't seen it yet, but we're believing for it to happen. Amen. That's faith. And it takes patience. Faith and patience work hand in hand. They'll never be apart. Amen. It undergirds faith. Patience undergirds faith. It like undergirds it. It helps it to operate. Amen. Until those results manifest themselves. That's just the bottom line. It's happened over and over in my life. Amen. And I can't help but think about it, the patience that we need on this journey. Hallelujah. And it takes, when we're committed, yes, patience is going to come along with being committed. That's just how it is. That's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way the ball bounces. Amen. We have need of patience. Paul talks about that. We do, because things are going to come around. Amen. And then Hebrews even encourages us in patience. Hebrews, where I think it's Hebrews 6 and 12, says, do not become sluggish. Don't come lax in your patience, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. See, if we don't have faith and patience, the promises that we're believing for, they're not going to come to pass. We're going to delay them. Amen. So we have need of patience. Hallelujah. But we're talking about commit, being committed. But even in that, it takes patience because we're using our time. We talked about it, our energy, our force, our talent. And all this takes patience. It takes work. Amen. When we deal with people, we have to have patience. Amen. And then I thought about another passage of scripture that came to mind. It's in the Psalms that talk about I waited patiently and expectantly for Yahweh. Amen. And he inclined to me and he heard my cry. Hallelujah. The Father hears us, saints. We got to remember that when we're committing everything over to him. We're committing our ways to him completely. That's fully. That's what commit means, to give something over with complete dependence on Elohim and our situation. That's who we depend on. We're giving it over. We're yielding it over. When we're recognizing that we're still holding on to it, we have to pay attention. Pay attention. Have I really surrendered this thing over? Or am I still trying to fix it on my own? Am I still trying to fix it myself? Anytime that thought of whatever that situation, circumstance, whatever it is, health issue, family issue, financial issue, whatever, something you need to be done in your home, at your home, whatever, on your job, at your place of employment, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Everything that concerns us concerns the Father. And he said, I will perfect those things that concern you. In other words, I will bring them to maturity. But first and foremost, we have to commit them to him first. We have to trust them, entrust them to him first. Amen. It's always an order. The Father always has an order of how things get done and how things, some things, the process is speeded up. Sometimes we hinder it. We delay it. Amen. So we really need to pay attention to our commitment and who first and foremost we're committed to. In our case, as I'm talking to saints and anyone that who may be listening, who's not a believer, you're listening to this, you're missing out. You're missing out. You got so much going on, and my, I don't even know how the world handles the stresses that come along with. We're always going to have stresses in life. But if I didn't have the Most High, depending on the Holy Spirit now for his guidance, and the example and the pattern that he sent his son to give us, the Messiah, Jesus, the pattern he walked this earth, he showed us the way. and we get to walk the way he walked, talk the way he talked. And it, yes, it's a process for us, but it's a good process. It's a good thing. So those who are still of this world, I don't know how they're making it. That's why I think so much is going on in that sphere, in that influence, when the enemy is taking over. And yes, sometimes he's gotten in to a believer's thought process, and in their mind, the enemy's gotten in and he's taken over in their mind. I don't know if it's a chemical imbalance in the mind when believers go that way and they do crazy stuff and they act out crazy. I'm just thinking their minds aren't renewed. Something's going on chemically maybe as well. But their minds need to be renewed in the Word and the Holy, and have to depend on the Holy Spirit to give us the interpretation. That's why they're all one. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And they're one in separate realms, but they're still one. And I'm grateful for the oneness, the triune being of our Heavenly Creator. Yes. So I'm just grateful this morning for how he's talking to us about commit or committing ourselves. Amen. And then there's another passage of scripture that came to me, Proverbs 16. But I'm going to start reading it at the first verse. To man, and I'm reading out of the scripture, to man belongs the preparations of the heart, but from Yahweh is the answer of the tongue. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirit. So I'm going to break that down just a little bit. We can make our own plans, as we're saying, but yet still the final outcome is still Elohim. It's still the Most High. The final outcome is in his hands, period. We can make our plans, but the final outcome is in his hands. We can always try to prove that we're right. That's what these two verses are saying here, or two or three verses are saying here. Let's see, yeah, two. That's two, the first two verses. We can always try to make it right. But in us making it right in our own eyes, does that convince our Father, our Heavenly Father? Is he convinced by that? I don't think so. They're always clean in our own eyes. But see, he looks at the way, the spirit of a thing, what's going on really in the individual. You know, what's the motive? He looks at that. He's looking at the motive of our inner being. Not our blood-pumping heart, but of our inner heart, our heart of hearts. Amen. Where he's communing with us. He knows our heart. And there's a passage of scripture that says, and he knows our heart can be desperately wicked. That's why it needs to be changed from the inside out. And when we're changed on the inside, it reflects our outward action. That nothing can get around that. The scripture tells us that in so many different ways. What's in a man gonna come out of it? Amen. That's what's going to come out of your mouth, what's on the inside of you. But then this third verse says, commit your works to Yahweh, your works, your plan to Yahweh, and your plans shall be established. Isn't that awesome? We have to still commit. Whatever plan we have to do, our ways, the decisions we're making, the plan, which is part of the decisions that we're making, we want to do this. Because at the beginning, he tells us, you know, they might be right in our own eyes, but once we commit them to him, he might not want us to go that route or do it that way, the way we think we should do it. We have to commit our ways and our thoughts and our plans. We have to commit them to him. He has our best interests at heart. And we should know that or have come to know that, those who have experienced this walk with him and been on his journey for some years, even if you're a baby in the things of the Most High, even your beginning experiences, you saw how faithful he was. What caused you to slip? What caused you? Because the enemy's going to always come at us with something. But it's up to us to make that committed. Here we go. That decision we made from the beginning when we committed ourselves. And see, because we committed ourselves, we're able to share it with others. We're preparing our own self by devoting our energy and our time. And in that, doing that, we're able to share it with others. Well, you want me to give you another example through the scriptures? Yeah, let's know it's time to go there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm thank you how you brought that out. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Amen. 2 Timothy.
Let's see, was that 2 Timothy 2? Where are we at? Go there. I'm just excited about the word. Hallelujah.
Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and 12 first. And it says, and I thank Messiah Yeshua, our master, who empowered me because he counted me trustworthy, putting me into service. Me, although I was formed, this is Paul talking, although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insulter. How many of us was there? Some of us might already still be there. We better think about that thing. My. But compassion was shown me because being ignorant, I did it in my unbelief. Are we still unbelieving in some areas in our life? Are we still not committed to what we know we need to be doing, the right thing before our heavenly creator? Look at Paul. He was going around killing the saints. He was trying to destroy the church. But when he did that turnaround, had that Damascus Road experience, there's some people that might be listening right now. You need a Damascus Road experience. You've been going through the motions, but inwardly your heart is desperately still wicked in some areas. I was calling us to turn it around. Hallelujah. I'm praying, Father, give a Damascus Road experience if that's needed. Give it. Let them experience it. Him, her, man, boy, woman, girl, child, whoever. Let them experience it like Paul did. He converted. So he thanked the Messiah, Yeshua, our master who empowered him. Hallelujah. Yes. He's our example, the Messiah. Yes. He's still our example today. What he did when he came on this earth. Elohim in the flesh. He turned the world upside down. And that's what we should be doing. That's why we need to take being committed so serious. What are we committed to? Who are we committed to? My. He thanked the Messiah. And I thank him today. I thank you, Messiah, for coming and showing yourself on this earth. Showing me as an example what to do. That's all we have to do. We should want to be like the Messiah. Not nobody else. Pattern out of our lives. We have mentors. Yes. We have mentors and we are mentors. But the main focal point who we should be following and patterning ourselves after, hallelujah, committing our walk with, is becoming more like the Messiah. Yeshua, Jesus, hallelujah. That's our commitment. Amen. Let us go on over to the second. That was the extra nugget thrown in there. I didn't have that one written down, but it came to my mind. Hallelujah. God, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let us go to 2nd chapter of 2 Timothy. Amen. Here's Paul talking to Timothy because he was like his son in the faith. Paul was a mentor to him. amen, and to so many, amen. But he loved him from Timothy. He was teaching him the way. He said, you then, my son, be strong in the favor that is in Messiah Yeshua. And what you have heard from me among many witnesses, entrust, commit, that's that same word. This, the scripture says, entrust these to trustworthy men who shall be competent to teach others as well. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about when we're committed. Amen. We're committed, we're preparing ourselves with our time and our energy and our talent. But then we able to go ahead and know that we've been committed this, we've been given this charge. Therefore, we can help give that charge to others. Amen. That's like parents. When you are in the faith, and some of us are parents and our children are grown, we weren't perfect parents. Well, we taught them the way the best we could if we raised them up in an atmosphere that recognized and acknowledged Elohim and the saints. Amen. We brought them up the best way we knew how through the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We weren't perfect in doing it. We had some flaws. But yet and still, we entrusted even at that time, at those times. Hallelujah. We committed to bring them up the right way. And then in some family homes, that may have not happened. Some listening in might not have been raised in that type of atmosphere. I wasn't. I wasn't raised in that type of atmosphere. But I had a drawing. I remember my grandmother went to church, and I said, I want to go to church. So I started going to church. She made sure I got there, too. I want to go to the church house. You know, as I got older, I recognized, you know, the building's not the church. We are. The people are the church. We go there for the fellowship. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need encouragement from one another. We glean off of one another. Amen. And that prepares us to go out into this wicked world. Hallelujah. To be that salt and that light. Amen. That's how we get prepared. But here, we see Paul is encouraging Timothy that you entrust them to others. Then he says, suffer hardship with us as a good soldier of Yeshua, Messiah. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in the affairs of this life. See, we can't let what's going on in this world entangle us. We're soldiers of the Most High. We're king's kids. We're kingdom citizens. Amen. And when we're committed to giving the word over and helping others as much as we can, encouraging others, but we have to know what we're encouraging with. We have to be able to be at a point where we're able to rightly divide too, because we don't want to give it out of the context of the meaning of what the scripture is saying. Sometimes we can share something and that even wasn't the original meaning it was written for. So we have to know why it was even written at that time, in order to know that we're sharing it correctly. But we have to commit, as Paul said, those things that you and others have learned from me. Amen. Share it with others. Teach it. Hallelujah. Preach it. Encourage it. That's what we do to our family members, our loved ones, our coworkers, even out in the marketplace when we go shopping or wherever. I look for opportunities to share something good. Or say something good to somebody. Amen. It may not be Jesus, but I'm still showing that light. And they look at you and stare at you. What they staring at? They see the glory on your life. Amen. You could just be sitting there chilling like I was yesterday. I was sitting there chilling yesterday all by myself in the presence of the Most High, of course. I took myself to brunch. And there was this family as soon as I went in, to go to the restroom. As soon as I got there, and a couple of families that came, because with the spot where I went, nobody was there. But when I went to the restroom and came back, those spots had filled up. And it's like everybody just looked at me like, where's she going? Where's she going? It was like immediate attention. Amen. And I was just smiling and said good morning. A good morning, early afternoon. Amen. But that's how it is. We should be intentional when we go about. But you see some saints, confessing, you'll hear them say, you'll see them pray at the table. At least they're praying over the meal or whatever. But then they looking at everybody and frowning, and I'm like, what is that? Is that, are they believers? Or, you know, sometimes you wonder. And I just pray for them. Father, help them to come to know you in the trueness of who you are, your love, your joy, your peace. Sometimes I go into a prayer, sit there when I see that kind of stuff. We have to be so alert for such a time as this. We have to stay alert, saints. Keep our spiritual eyes wired open. You don't know what kind of opportunity is going to approach you, and you want to be prepared to be able to handle it, to deal with it. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to be said or what you might have to say. Amen. It all falls in that word of commit, to commit. Hallelujah. No one serving a soldier gets involved in the affairs of this life in order to please only him who enlisted him as a soldier. Who enlisted you as a soldier? Huh? Of the kingdom of the Most High. We've been enlisted in. We came in through the blood of Jesus, the Messiah. We came in. We was engrafted in. Now we are co-laborers with the Messiah. Hallelujah. Fellow heirs to the throne. That's how we, hallelujah, we've been engrafted in as soldiers. Why not commit to the whole will of the Father? We can't half do it and half step. He said he want us hot or cold, lukewarm. He'll spit us out of his mouth. We like make the Father sick to his stomach. He want us hot or cold. Come on, saints. We're either one or the other in our faith. Are you committed, fully committed? I remember when I got saved, and I'm yet still getting saved. I'm still getting delivered over and over, over the years. He's still showing me mess that don't belong in me, of me. But when I was 15, when I first accepted the Savior into my heart, and I went through some things. I didn't, you know, I wasn't fully committed, so to speak. Let's put it that way. And I would make this statement, and it just now came back to me. When I decided to get fully committed, I was in my first marriage. When I decided to get fully committed to the Father, because I was half-stepping, I was on my way, I believe. Well, I was saved, but I was like cold. I was making the Father sick to his stomach. Let's just put it like that. But when I made the decision to get fully committed to the Father, let me see. My oldest son was about 6 or 7 when I really got fully committed to the things of the Most High. That's when I was fully in. I wasn't half-stepping and kind of just taking it easy and tiptoeing through the garden. My. We don't have time, saints, to be tiptoeing. We don't. We don't have time. Time is winding down. People are getting up out of here quickly, it seems like. The process has speeded up. Amen. But we got to stay committed, saints. We got to stay. We got to keep our hand toward. He who puts his hand toward the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. We don't have time to be looking back. We got to stay looking forward, keeping our eyes on the prize, staying committed to what that prize is. Hallelujah. I'm just excited this morning. Amen. Fifth verse, and if anyone competes in a game, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We have rules to follow. We get to follow. I don't say have to. I don't like to say it that way. We get to. It's an opportunity. It's a choice. We get to do these things in this committed relationship. Hallelujah. In our committed personal relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, We can talk to him 24/7. Hallelujah. 365. Some years 366. It should be about time for a leap year coming, because it happens every 4 years. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful this morning how this word is breaking it down for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Sixth verse of 2 Timothy, the second chapter. The hardworking farmer ought to be first to receive his share of the crops. Why would you think that? If he's working hard, he should be able to benefit off the fruits of his labor at the top of the heap. At the very top, when that harvest comes in, he should be, him and his family. I'm just saying, I'm just using that as an example. Because the labor that he's doing, hallelujah, is paid off. He's working hard at it. Amen. Are we committed to our, hallelujah, relationship? Are we committed to this walk and this journey that we have with our heavenly creator? I mean, fully committed. Yes, fully committed. Not only when we're in need of something. That's what's sad. Sometimes you don't hear from some people, and then you don't hear from them until they need something. That's sad. I want people in my life that we can talk when it's good things going on, and there ain't no problem. I have one friend, I love her dearly. Sometimes she'll call me, she say, "I apologize." Don't be apologizing to me. There's no apologies needed. We laugh and we talk when all things are good. And when I have an issue, I want to be able to talk to you too. And I ain't going to apologize. Amen. We don't have to apologize for nothing. When we're committed, hallelujah, to encouraging one another, that's what we're here to do. We have to encourage each other. And I think yesterday, my day was full of it, and I'm grateful. By the end of the day, I think that's why I was drained. I was so sleepy. I was like, woo, it's been a day, but it was a good day. Hallelujah. And I'm rejuvenated for some more today. Hallelujah. Glory to your Most High. He continues to refresh us, restore us over and over again. Why? Because we're committed to him. I think that's why he gave this to me. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm committed to his call. Hallelujah. Whatever talent, whatever gifting, whatever he's given unto me, whatever he's given unto you, hallelujah, use it with fervency for his glory. Be committed to him in it and watch him show you through. He will show up every time, every scripture we read. When you commit your ways, your plans, he comes forth. He manifests. Hallelujah. When you're doing that, it does create and bring forth a patience, because we have need of it. We have to walk in it. Amen. If we didn't have it, that patience works out things. It does. It just works out. You know, it needs to have that perfect work in it, that we won't be lacking nothing. Nothing. Amen. It's just wonderful. I was trying to think that scripture. I wanted to read it, but we're still in 2 Timothy. 7th verse. Think over what I say, for the master shall give you understanding into all this. I think he gave me an understanding. I hope you got one. Because, you know, it was a lot of, back in that day, they were using a lot of parables that the men could relate to in that day, in that time. But it's so we can relate to. The Holy Spirit helps break it down for us. Amen. You hear some people say, it's just so hard. I don't understand. Keep reading it. Keep studying it. The Holy Spirit, depend on the Holy Spirit to give you the revelation. I've heard that statement. I heard my youngest son, he said it. I'm not sure where to go or what to do. Read where you are. I'm not going to give you a blueprint. We always told you to always look in Proverbs. Read, study in Proverbs. Then wherever else you go in the new covenant, read the old covenant too. And then yesterday he called. He was on there. He was talking about the Sabbath. He was out there where he was. But he was not wrong. He felt wrong because he's like, nobody else is believing this. I said, son, that's your conviction, and it's not wrong. That's the Holy Spirit bringing that conviction to you. You walk it out. Walk out your conviction. By the help, the Holy Spirit gives us conviction. Amen. And as long as it's lining up with what the word says, it's not wrong. He was in the old covenant. He was under the old, reading the old covenant, and he was in the new covenant. Lining it upon, line upon line, precept upon precept. And he was keeping it real. And sometimes I think he just calls when he has nobody else to talk to about it, when he thinks he's in error or trying to understand. He's like, nobody else is doing it. Okay, but it doesn't matter about nobody else. When you stand before the Father, I told you, I don't know how many, this multiple times, and I know you know it, you're going to stand by yourself. That's all of us. Nobody else is going before the Father for us but ourselves. Amen. And we got to give an account what we did in these bodies, with these bodies, all that. We're going one-on-one. Our husband not going for us. The wife not going for us. The son, the daughter's not going for us. Your mama, your daddy not going for you. We going one-on-one by ourselves. That's why it's personal relationship. Has to be a personal encounter. Amen. Amen. Eighth verse. Remember that Yeshua Messiah of the seed of David, which is David, was raised from the dead according to my good news, for which I suffer hardship as a criminal unto chains. But the word of Elohim is not changed. My. Look at Paul. He said, I even suffered hardship. I was beaten. I was shipwrecked with all that. But I even went to prison. I'm in chains. I'm bound. For the good news, sharing that good news. But guess what? The word is liberty. But the word Elohim is not chained. He is freedom. His word is freedom. So I endure through it all for the sake of the chosen, so that they too obtain deliverance, which is in Messiah Yeshua, with everlasting esteem, everlasting glory, everlasting. It's everlasting. My. We have to endure some things, saints. When we accepted the Messiah, we can't think it's going to be a bed of ease. There's going to always be something coming at us. We're going to always be dealing with something. You know, we have victory after victory after victory. And we can't stay on that high pinnacle. We got to come back down to the valley. Amen. We're not going to always stay up on the mountaintop. We're going to have some mountaintop experiences over and over. We're going to have some valley experiences over and over, too. That's part of this journey. And sometimes we don't know. Like Forrest Gump said, it's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to bite into. Amen. Even yesterday, it reminded me of the sister, she's on the prayer team, I went to visit with yesterday. She had a box of chocolates up at the front part of her thing. Well, the package was like a creamy brown color, or like a brownish color. I didn't know what kind it was. I just picked it up, and it was white chocolate, and I did not like it. But guess what? I didn't eat it, but I didn't know what I was going to bite into. It was an unexpectation, but I ate it anyway. Sometimes when we have different things coming in our life, we don't know what we're going to bite into. We don't know what's going to happen, what's going to occur. But guess what? We have to go ahead and walk through it with patience, because we're committed. We're committed to the Father. We're committed to whatever, maybe committed to whatever the situation is. We got to endure the process of whatever that may look like. I'm not sure. Sometimes that box tasting that took me on a journey in my taste buds that I did not like. But guess what? I went ahead and endured it. I ate it. I didn't throw it away. I didn't waste it. It was just a piece of candy. But we have life situations that are like that. We want to throw in the towel. We want to give up. Want to quit. Want to cave in. Want to stop. We depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to speak to us, to talk to us, to encourage us, and keep praying to the Father in the name of his Son. We got to keep doing that over and over. That's commitment. That's what commitment is. You don't just do it once, twice, three times, four times. Just like the scripture, when they asked Messiah said, how many times are we forgive someone? Over and over, yes, 70 times 7. I mean, that's over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's a keep forgiving, so to speak. We can forgive. It's up to the Father to help that person to forgive. But we still have to forgive it so we can walk pure and clean in our heart, in our heart of hearts. Amen. We want to walk clean. That's part of the commitment. Amen. Trustworthy is the word. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. And see, we made that commitment to die to ourselves and to live unto him. That's what Paul's talking about here. Amen. We made that commitment when we accepted the Messiah as our personal Savior. We made that commitment to die to ourselves. But a lot of us are still trying to live to ourselves. I mean, we're supposed to enjoy this life while we're here. He tells us to. He promised to give us all that we need down here to keep us. He wants us to enjoy life. Amen. Not to be what you call a sourpuss in life. He wants us to enjoy this life. Amen. But, you know, those things and part of the life doesn't have us. We have it. Amen. Amen. So that's where we are. Once we accepted the Messiah as our personal Savior, we died to ourselves, our will and our way of doing things. As I even trying to plan a trip, I'm still seeking the Father. I hadn't done it yet. I know I want to go somewhere, but it hadn't been done yet. So I'm like, what are you doing, Father? What do you know? I'm still waiting on you. Keep, you know, every day I'm doing this and I keep doing this. I keep looking, and because I have common sense too to what the amount that I want to spend. So, I mean, common sense, wisdom. Let's say wisdom. But I'm just grateful this morning. Trustworthy is the word. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure. You see that word? There's a condition. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also shall deny us. Saints, it's important that we be committed, get committed where we're not. If there's any area where we're not committed, get committed. I know if he's talking to me about this, he's talking to you too. He's talking to somebody out here in the radio waves, in the broadcast waves. He's just not talking to me. Relook at your focus. 13, if we are not, he remains trustworthy. He's still faithful. He's still who he is. If we're not committed to him, he's still going to be committed to us. That's love. That's love. That's how parents normally offer their children. They may fail you, fall short, but you still going to be committed to them. You still trust and believe that they're going to turn around and do the right thing, and they're going to get it together. You still believe that. You still have the faith and trust to believe that. It is impossible for him to deny himself. See, he's a faithful father. He's good. He's not going to deny himself. So how could he fall short? How could the father fall short of being trustworthy? How could he fall short of his commitment of who he is? How could he fall short? He's the creator of all this, heaven and earth. My. There's some conditions there in that 12th and that 13th verse. Some ifs. Where was the if in 11? If we died with him. Did we die with him? That if makes a powerful statement at the beginning of the rest of what comes behind. And we have to pay those ifs some attention. Amen. Amen. So in the 14th verse, it's to remind them of this earnestly, witnessing before the master, not to wage verbal battle, which is useless, to the overthrowing of the hearers. So there's no time. We don't have time to be arguing about nothing. If an argument starts, be the bigger person. Walk away. Close your mouth. We have to be committed all the way around our faculties
We're committing our bodies, submitting them over into the Father as a living sacrifice. And that includes our mouth, our eye gate, our ear gate. That includes everything we committed over to the Father. Amen. Amen. We want to continue to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that takes this part of the commitment. I was going to stop at that 13th verse, but it just wanted me, I just keep going. Do your utmost, that 15th verse, to present yourself approved to Elohim, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly telling the word of truth. Amen. But keep away from vain babbling. All kind of craziness going on out here. A bunch of, you know, you can go on YouTube, search this and Google and all kind of stuff. Everything you see out there can be changed and reverted and it's not true. Amen. So we got to pay attention to what's being talked about and is discussed. We're going to have to give an account what comes out of our mouth. Amen. Saints of the Most High, I just thank you for spending this time with me, the Holy Spirit, and me, and in his presence, in the presence of the Most High, as we talked about committing. And that's my question to you today. Are you fully committed? Are you fully committed? If not, you know, that question is to myself. I asked myself that question when I wrote it down. Are you? That was my last statement to myself. Are you fully committed? And I had it in caps. That means that's a strong statement to myself. I'm going to unmute your lines. Or you can keep them muted if you have nothing, if you want to share. You have a question or if you want to share a comment in reference to the word of today or you just have a prayer request. We'll close prayer. Either way. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let us go to prayer as we close out. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this time. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for always preparing the way for us. You love us so much, and you will never stop loving us. You will never stop loving us, and we're so grateful for that. You're committed, even in your love, for us. It's unconditional. It never changes. Hallelujah. You remain the same. You love us so much. You keep helping us to get it right. Help us, Father, because we want to be helped. I know I do. Continue to help me. Continue to speak to us, Holy Spirit. We thank you. Continue to commune with us as we commune with you. And we thank you. Continue to help us walk out this walk. Hallelujah. Work out our soul's salvation in fear and trembling with that reverence towards you, Father. Acknowledging and knowing who you are. You are the King of Kings and Yahweh over every Lord. Yes, you are. We thank you. We thank you. You are our Master. Hallelujah. Thank you for continuing to lead and order our steps. Thank you that our ways and our plans, hallelujah, will be given to you as you order them along this past journey. From this day forward, hallelujah, help us to stop working it out, trying to work it out on our own. Help us to trust you even the more. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We find ourselves falling short. Help pick us up, Father. We thank you. Pick us up. Hallelujah. Where we may be torn down, you are the one who picks us up. You sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Yes, in every area. And we thank you for that comfort right now. We thank you for your shalom, that peace that you give us. Hallelujah. That no man, woman, boy, girl can give us. It only comes from our Savior. And we thank you for that. You saved us and you're yet saving us. And we thank you. Now, Father, as we go forth throughout the remainder of this day, hallelujah, some going to services for, you know, fellowship and, hallelujah, more of your words. Thank you, Father, for downloading it into our spirit, that we will be able to walk it out. We won't just be hearers of your word, but we will also be effective doers, so we will be effective in your kingdom. We thank you for that. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. As we go throughout this week,
We pray ahead of time. We loose our angelic hosts to go forth before us, to keep us in all our ways. Hallelujah. Make every crooked path straight, move out the rough edges. And we give you praise and thanks for that. We lift up healing over anybody. Hallelujah. We call forth your healing oil and virtue to flow over everybody that's challenged with any type of dis-ease or discomfort right now. Father, we thank you for it. We just give you praise for your healing oil and virtue flowing. Hallelujah. We praise you and thank you in advance. For it's in your name, in the name of your son, Yeshua, that we pray. Amen, amen. And to you, Father, be all glory, honor, and praise. Go into peace and the joy and the love of our Father. I speak his shalom peace unto you today and always. I love you with the love of the Most High.